This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Well, with the unpredictable weather that we've had this winter, many of you, like me, have probably paid more attention to the Weather Service's advisories that are issued out of the Juno office. Well, Jonathan Sook is a meteorologist who coordinates these weather warnings, and he's here to tell us about a project that he's been working on, tailoring the boundaries for the zone forecasts, in other words, the weather zones in Alaska, to better match the needs of Southeast Alaska. And John, I want to welcome you to Juno Afternoon. We really appreciate the good work that the Weather Service does to help us navigate the good days, the bad days, but stay safer. But as I understand it, these boundary adjustments are something that the Weather Service has wanted to do for a long time. Can you explain the history of that?
Sure can. First, thank you so very much for having us on today. It's a great pleasure of mine to be here, and really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this and help answer any questions that come in. And if people do want to know more about this, if there are concerns that they have about how it affects them, the best way they can reach out to this, and I'll say this multiple times today probably, is really an email to me is the easiest way. That would be Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, .Sook, S as in Sierra, U-K, at NOAA, N-O-A-A, .gov. As far as what we are trying to do with this proposal is one of the things that has been set up is how we issue our warnings and advisories across Southeast Alaska. And here in Juneau, the National Weather Service focuses on everything up from the city and borough of Yakutat all the way on down to Ketchikan and the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. So if it's in the panhandle, we cover it. And that means that whenever we have inclement weather, we're looking at the way to get the messages out. And the best way we can handle that is through the system that's set up nationally, which is our forecast zones. So when we issue a winter storm warning for the Juneau area, we actually light up a piece of map that we associate with Juneau. Now, historically speaking, that map has not aligned with the city and borough of Juneau. It's actually close to, but slightly off. And in some places like Petersburg, it's even further off. So what we are looking at doing with this proposal is to line it up with the boroughs and organized area maps that we have for Southeast Alaska. And that way it would stop overwarning for people. So an example of that for us in Juneau is sometimes we'll issue a warning for Haines. And the Haines borough line and the city and borough Juneau line is separate for where our warning area is for Haines. And so if you've ever received a warning from any of the services you use or seen something come across that says, hey, there's a warning in this area and it's for Haines and not Juneau, that's why. And so what this process would do is actually eliminate that problem by matching us up with the local jurisdictions. And that's the big goal of this, is to stop overwarning.
So how did this spaghetti bowl of a mess get started where you have these overlapping warning systems?
Sure. So the issue with the overlapping warning system, you know, Alaska's a unique place in so many ways. And one of the things that actually happens here is that our boundaries are rather fluid, especially if you compare it to the lower 48. So every time the city and borough of Juneau decides that they want to change their boundary, or when Petersburg and Wrangell, both back in, I want to say 2013, decided that they wanted to be their own separate boroughs. Items like that, we're allowed to still change our map, where a lot of these things have been set in stone, you know, from way back in the day down south. And so there's a political system here that's unique to Alaska because of our constitution. And part of that is that we still have a lot of unorganized areas here in Southeast Alaska. And so every time that the local governments want to change things up, we're able to do it a lot more fluidly than we can down south. And that's part of where this comes in. And then the National Weather Service, we're trying to adapt to that and those changes. And unfortunately, it is the federal government, so big wheels turn slowly. And it takes a lot of effort and emphasis to try to get these things done.
So basically, what's the template for creating forecast zones in the lower 48?
Sure. So the forecast zones in the lower 48 a lot of times come from the county boundaries. But the other thing that I'll be quick to point out here is in a lot of areas in the lower 48, the counties are way smaller than the city and borough boundaries that we have here. So it's really easy in the lower 48 to lump counties together, especially as you go further east, because they are such smaller areas. They're smaller hamlets, as far as geographically speaking. And that problem, you can actually sit there and if you look at a map of the U.S. and counties, you can actually see when the railroad expansion happened, because all of a sudden the counties started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we added them so quickly, because transportation was a lot easier to go further distances. So it's a real interesting study, but of course Alaska, with us being the one of the last states added to the union so far, that adds some of its challenges like that.
Well, one of the things you notice when you look at maps of individual states, particularly in the Midwest, you actually see grids for counties, like they're little cubes. And in Alaska, I think it would be impossible to do that, or it wouldn't make any sense to do that here, because we're full of bumps and lumps and mountains and tundra. You know, it's such a different environment.
Exactly. And that is very true. If you look out, especially in the Great Plains, it's a checkerboard. It looks exactly like a checkerboard. And that's because they don't have the topography that we have. So for us, the rivers and the mountain ranges and the island boundaries themselves make some natural boundaries that are great to follow for these for map drawing. And in all honesty, that's one of the things that the political boundaries that are drawn with the boroughs use predominantly. It's not always the case. But for the Weather Service, for us to pick arbitrary lines to draw on that are separate from the lines driven by the political boundaries, it just adds to the confusion.
And I guess
so that's part of what we're trying to clean up.
You've got the technology now to give out all these warnings. I mean, I see Weather Service bulletins on Twitter, Facebook. And of course, you know, you can get these warnings right to your phone. And I would imagine that with this technology that, you know, it becomes even more important to have boundaries that make more sense.
Exactly, it does. And that's one of the things that we're also trying to clean up with this change, is that instead of having the boundaries have our own definitions for it, if we go to the borough boundaries where applicable, we can have them say things like the city and borough of Juneau, and everyone knows where it is, instead of where it currently says of Juneau and Northern Admiralty Island. But where you draw Northern Admiralty Island might be very different than where I draw Northern Admiralty Island.
Well, we have learned this past winter just the importance of these warnings and advisories, just like when we had that period in Juneau of very heavy snowfall followed by heavy rain, which made that heavy snow wet and very dangerous, causing roofs to collapse and threatening boats in the harbor with sinking just from the weight of all that snow that was soaked with water. So, you know, I think people are really excited that we've got this possibility to warn us. Do you think that once you get the boundaries adjusted properly, do you think that it's going to be even a more useful tool for us?
Well, and that is ultimately the goal for us, is we want to provide the best service possible to everyone here. We are members of the community of Southeast Alaska. Our goal is not just to sit there and hunker down in an office and stare at weather maps and satellite imagery. And as awesome as it is to be able to look at that stuff day in, day out, and it's a rewarding career, at least that I've found, the big reward comes from being able to get decisions to people and hearing that they've made decisions based off of your forecast and your warnings, and it helped them out, whether it's saving lives or property or just putting them in a position to be better prepared.
Well, one of the things, you know, that people probably wonder about is how can they be involved in this process? I mean, although I guess it's pretty much determined by the political boundaries, the census data, is there still a role for public involvement in how you can make this warning system make more sense to people?
Absolutely there is. And that's one of the things I do love about being in Southeast Alaska, where we have a relatively small population compared to other parts of the country. The nice thing that we have here is that when we sit there and open this up like it is right now for public comment, we want to hear your comment and we want to hear your concerns, and that will help us shape this as we go forward. This is going to be a long process, and you're going to see multiple steps along the way. And again, the best way to get a hold of it is if you go to weather.gov/Juno, that's weather.gov, and honestly, you can stop there and just click on your part of Southeast Alaska, or you can type out Juno. Either one will work. But you will notice as you get to our webpage that there is a link that says we are looking for feedback. If you take a look at that, you'll see a nice webpage that talks about what we're trying to do. You'll be able to see the maps, take a look at them. And at the bottom, it will give my email address if you have comment. So if you do, please do. We've heard back from multiple people all across Southeast Alaska. And I can tell you that I am in the process of responding to each and every one of them as we receive them. So I want to make sure that people's concerns are met, and that if they have a concern, that we either sit there and say, well, this is how it will affect you or won't affect you. And if there are further concerns, that we take those into account and to heart. We are looking right now at just the land-based zones. So it's just the part that stays dry when the tide comes in. But one of the things that we will be looking at in the as we go down the road is we will be also looking at the marine zones and how we divvy up the inner passages and how people use the waterways there so that we can provide the best information to people there. And while we aren't trying to sit there and completely change how people do this and the system they're used to doing, we are trying to look for areas where people can suggest that, hey, it would be, have you ever thought about this? Would it be better to include this area in or change it this way? And we do want to hear your feedback. We value everyone's voice in this community, and we want to continue to have people feel like they can come to us and we will listen to them.
Do you think that there is going to be more technology coming down the pike? Because it seems like there's been a lot of change in the weather industry in the last 5 years, in the last couple of years. So do you foresee more tools for people to use?
Absolutely, I do. The one thing I can say is that the weather service that I joined when I started my career is not the same one that I am in now, and it will not be the same one that I retire out of either. This is a rapidly changing field. We are heavily reliant on technology. If you look even in Juneau here, with the help that we have from the University the university here in town, along with some other partners, with the flooding with Suicide Basin, we have a satellite-based system that allows us to pull webcam images off of Suicide Basin to see how it's raising and falling with the water coming in so that we can alert people for flood dangers if there's a Yokolops. Now, I can't imagine
that. Now, would you say that word for me again? I love that word, Yokolops.
Yokolops. The glacial dam release isn't nearly as fun to say.
Say it five times for me, Yokolops.
Yokolops? I don't know if I could say Yokolops five times and have it sound the same every time.
It's like Sally sells seashells.
Exactly.
I love that word, though. And these are just the unique kinds of things that we have in Southeast Alaska. And before we go, I do want to ask you one question about the vastness of the country out here, because you talk about these counties that are in the lower 48. You can drive through some of them in an hour or two, and here, you can't do that. You have to fly or boat. But the thing is that the technology that's in place in these vast regions seems to be a lot less than in these tiny counties. So I mean, is that one of the struggles always, is just having such a vast area to try to measure?
It is. And it doesn't help that, roughly Southeast Alaska is the size of Florida, except we have way more fjords than they do. And we don't have the population they do. So for the weather service, for Florida, there are 7 offices that cover all of it. And with the population density, there's way more observation sites. That includes radars and just people's home weather stations that they've connected to the internet. Here, we've got a lot more dirt between those observation locations, and we only have one radar. So it is a big challenge for us. There's a lot more that we don't know than we know. And as we see additional sites come online and we can bring that data in with new technology, we try to make that improve our forecast as much as possible. So it is rapidly changing, and it's rapidly changing for the better for everyone here in Southeast Alaska. That being said, there are definite challenges to it because we find out areas that we didn't know so well and we weren't forecasting for so well that we now get data for, and that changes how we get to do things. So it is a challenge, but it's one that everyone here is quite eager to accept that challenge and come to work, because it does make it a better forecast at the end of the day, a better warning program at the end of the day. And that's ultimately what drives a lot of us here at the National Weather Service, is we do want to help and support the community. We are very much a duty-driven agency, and we do care very much about the our neighbors and family that we help out here.
All right, and just wrapping things up, when you are forecasting the weather, who are you seeing receiving your information in your mind's eye? I remember when I first started out in broadcasting, they always told us, picture someone that you're talking to. So who are you forecasting for in your mind's eye?
You know, honestly, when I sit there and think about someone that I'm forecasting for, it really depends on the weather. When it's a nasty day and I know that the winds are going to be kicking up and it's hard to get, and it's going to be hard boating out there, I think of the people that are going to have to take that little 14-foot skiff across some pretty choppy waters, and they got to figure out how they're going to go in and get groceries because they're running out of stuff at home. When it's cold, and I know that it's going to be a prolonged cold snap, I really try to focus on the people that don't necessarily have the insulated pipes. So they might have some pipes outside because they live on pier and post. And they're going to need to take full time to sit there and try to spin things up, run that water tap, and do things to take preventative measures to protect their lives and their property. And so I really try to focus when I'm on the forecast desk, I really try to wonder who's going to be impacted the most by this, and how can I get the message out to let them prepare and know what's coming, and so they can take the actions that they need to take to be able to weather this, the weather that we get here, as best as possible.
Well, the only request I have is that you have an advisory for sunshine like today that gets blasted out.
You know, the problem with today that we had in Juneau was everyone at the forecast office saw that fog sticking around. And we knew the second that fog was lifted, everyone was going to see those blue skies. And I think the big problem that we had is that everyone was waiting for that fog to get out of here so that we could go in and enjoy the blue skies. And that stuff just hung out way longer than we wanted. And that's one of the challenges we have here, is that, you know, you kind of want to wish cast what you want to see instead of what you're going to see.
I love a wish cast.
A wish cast. Yeah, that's one of the lines that I've personally found myself doing of, oh, I really hope this happens. And, you know, gosh darn it, sometimes if it doesn't end up in the forecast a little too much, I go, yeah, that was my bias right there coming in.
All righty. Well, I want to thank you so much, Jonathan Sook, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau, here to tell us about their plans to revamp some of the forecast zones so that they match the political boundaries a little more logically. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Y'all have a wonderful and safe time out there.
All righty. Thanks for the sunshine.